Once again, thanks for hanging with me. Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com. Go to HagmannReport.com. Make sure you open the program description box for all of the links. Everything you need to know is in that program description box. With me right now, Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. Links will be in the program description box at HagmannReport.com. Nowhere else. There. And go. What's that? FreedomTrain.net. 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 See that? If you're watching this either on Rumble or Brighteon or from our website, FreedomTrain.net. There you go. Lot to get into. You know, we're seeing elections. We're seeing things happen all across the world. And the thing that makes this country, the United States of America, different than, we'll say, Canada, which the Canadians apparently just cucked out and said, okay, all right, yeah, take away our ability to use and possess firearms. Yeah, it's okay. And, you know, here in the United States, I want to mention this, the ATF, their proposed rule, well, 2021R-08 is rearing its ugly head again. Now, it's talking with Sam Andrews, my guest right now, and he said, yeah, you know what, this is about the pistol braces on firearms. Not a big fan, not a lot of use for them. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but that's not, to me, that's not the point. The point is this: you've got this this bureaucracy, the ATF, that is doing everything in their power to make law-abiding citizens, gun owners, law-abiding gun owners, felons, criminals, by changing the rules. You could have purchased, we'll say, for example, an AR-15 with a arm brace, okay? And now, coming up again for the third time, I believe, this December, is amending ATF regulations to clarify when a rifle is intended to be fired from the shoulder. And this hinges upon Form 4999, a four-point system. Fighting against this, of course, in addition to Sam and his crew and all of the patriots out there, Firearms Policy Coalition, Gun Owners of America, and Second Amendment Foundation. But this just shows you how far this regime will go to disarm the American public. I'm not going to take any more time away from Sam. Sam, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Doug. Certainly better than I deserve.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to hear. You're looking well. And so let's talk about whatever's on your heart, the fact that we are so close to both a revolution and a civil war. The fact that we haven't gotten into one yet surprises me. The civility is declining. I don't know where do you want to go, because I do want to talk about the training that you offer as well. So all around this and through this, what's on your heart?
Well, pursuant to the regulation that's proposed, the federal government has zero authority under the Constitution of the United States to regulate anything firearms related.
Correct.
In fact, it's one of the few things that they are expressly forbidden from regulating. I don't know what shall not be infringed means to you, but to me, it means don't even go near that. You know, infringed, you know, the root word is fringe, right? So the perimeter, don't even go near the perimeter of that subject. That's how strong our founding fathers were. They also wrote, keep and bear, not keep and conceal. And we have this concealed carry culture in our country, which I'm not a big fan of. I really think that our founding fathers truly believed that if you concealed a weapon, you were a scoundrel. That if you were a man, you would bear your weapon openly so that everyone would know you were armed, and that that was a great thing for society. But pursuant to this regulation, the pistol brace was something that was developed for AR-15 pistols. And it wraps around your forearm and straps to your forearm so you can shoot the AR-15 one-handed comfortably, actually. In a tactical application, they're not that useful. Probably not a hill I would die on. But you know, when Republicans and the NRA and so many Americans tolerated the tyrannical ban of bump stocks?
Yes.
You knew this was coming next.
Sure.
Because it's incrementalism. And when you allow a government to encroach on your rights, you give them an inch, they will eventually take a mile 1 inch by 1 inch. And that's why you never tolerate tyranny, ever, in any circumstances. I don't own one of these things. All of my ARs are rifles. They're not pistols. But I'll tell you one useful application that I've seen with these particular items is these gals that are 5'3 to 4'7 that aren't big 6 foot, 220 pound athletes that want to be able to shoot an AR to defend their home and their life. They find these very useful because you can put a 10 inch barrel on it that doesn't weigh very much, and you can put a pistol brace on it. And for a woman that's 4'10, this is an ideal sized rifle. They can handle the weight because the weight is less and the weight is not extended so far away from their body. So they're very, very effective with this size AR. Now, do they shoot it like a pistol? Probably not. But no. The federal government has no business getting involved in any of this anyway.
And that's the thing. You're exactly right. They don't have they got no business messing around here, but yet they do. Why? Because we allow them. We let them.
See, now in Missouri, we passed a Second Amendment Preservation Act. Our governor signed it into law. It basically renders all federal gun laws in the state of Missouri illegal. And the federal government is not allowed to use state police or local police to enforce federal gun laws. It is illegal for them to do that in the state of Missouri. They can be fined up to $50,000 per occurrence in the state of Missouri if they assist a federal law enforcement agency in enforcing a federal gun law. Now, do we need the Second Amendment Preservation Act? I don't know. I think the Constitution of Missouri stands alone, and if it doesn't, certainly the U.S. Constitution stands alone. Will the people in Missouri tolerate federal gun confiscation? They will not. This was the last place where I live in southern Missouri, the last place to surrender during the Civil War. And there are counties here that never officially surrendered. And so I can tell you the men in southern Missouri do not take to being attemptedly ruled by tyrants that have no business bossing us around and making us their slaves. And the men here will not tolerate this in any way. In fact, the deputies that I spoke to in Missouri, when we asked them point blank, what are you going to do when the federal government orders you to confiscate guns? And they all look, they get this wide-eyed look and they say, I'm turning in my badge and my gun. I know what will happen next. Now, that's in the rural counties of Missouri. In St. Louis City or Kansas City, if you ask a police officer, what are you going to do when you get orders to confiscate guns? They're going to say, I'm going to go get the guns. Because there is a great divide between a deputy sheriff who respects people's rights, whose boss is an elected sheriff, and a city police officer whose boss was appointed by a politician, typically the mayor or the city council. Which does not bode well for the cities if things come unglued.
Things are not going to go well. I'm going to tell you that right now. Things will, in my view, things are not going to go well. I see famine, deliberate supply shortages, food to necessities. I see all this taking place. I see civil what a mess with the civil society. Civility's gone or will be gone. As soon as you can't use your bank card for food or gas or whatever, when there's no gas to buy. So the people that are, by the way, the people that are both armed and trained, let me say that. You can have a gun, you can have an AR-15, never take it out of the case and never shoot it. And when, you know, the stuff hits the fan, think, okay, I'm safe. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to hurt yourself.
You will be shot in the first 3 seconds of a firefight if you are not trained.
Yeah.
That's a simple fact.
Sure.
And unfortunately, people don't realize that it's critical that you get training. Because if you don't know how to use cover and fight from behind cover, you will be shot in the first 3 seconds. That's the truth. And the other thing about human nature that a lot of people don't really want to recognize, they don't want to recognize the power of human nature and the power of people's will to survive.
Yes.
When you go without food, you are 3 days away. Most groups, most societies, the majority of people are 3 days away from attacking their neighbors to get food. They are 3 weeks away from eating their neighbors. Now, that's right. I said eating your neighbor. When you are starving, things happen to your brain and you do things that are unimaginable. And it's very difficult for people to understand the power of this. So if they kill the diesel supply, if they stop the trucks running into the cities, it will be 3 to 5 days before things explode.
And you know, people say, well, yeah, I've got 3 or 4 days or a week or a month's supply of food. And you really don't if you think about it, especially, well, I mean, 90% of the people who think they've got the necessary food really don't. So you're right.
Well, let's talk about preparation. You talk about having food and ammo. You're talking about preparing for hard times. So if you prepare for hard times, you really need a bug in and a bug out strategy. So the people that have canned food and put food aside and have refrigerated food and extra meat in the freezer, that's great. As long as they don't turn the power off, and as long as you don't have to relocate. But if you have to relocate, you've got a big problem because you cannot carry enough canned food. Unless you've got a semi with a 50-foot trailer, you will not be able to carry enough food with you in your car or your pickup truck to keep you and your spouse alive for 6 months.
That's right.
Because canned food is enormously heavy and takes up an enormous amount of space. Now, for a bug-in strategy, canned food, food in a freezer works great as long as the power doesn't go out. What happens when the power goes out? What happens when a dirty bomb or a nuclear plant gets sabotaged and the wind just happens to be blowing your direction? See, a lot of people don't know in a nuclear event, a dirty bomb situation, some chemical events, the wind really determines, the direction of the wind determines who lives and dies. And so if the wind is blowing from west to east and you happen to have a power plant to the west of you and the wind's blowing west to east, when it is damaged and there is a leak of nuclear energy, you got a big problem. You're going to have to relocate. And if you don't have a bunch of freeze-dried food, something that's lightweight that you can carry with you, you show up at your new location, there might be people there that are not receptive to your arrival because you don't have ammo and food. Yeah. So not only is food important, but the type of food is important depending on what the situation is.
Good points all. And I think a lot of people, I think now is the time that I'm a big believer, Sam, in the book, The Theory, The Fourth Turning. I think that we're seeing that happen right now. We're seeing all the negative things that will happen and are about to happen. And I don't have a good feeling about the next really 3 weeks, 3 months, or 3 years. I don't have a good feeling about it. I don't know when this is all going to go really bad, really south, really fast. So here's what would I recommend. And here's one thing, folks, that we can do, the Hagman Report can do, is offer you, team up with guys like Sam and offer you training. Look, if you are younger than me, or my age, but physically fit, physically able, Sam's got a great training program. The next one, but by the way, do we fill two classes? One class. We fill one class. The next class that we'll fill is coming up, and I wrote that down. That was December 1st through the 4th. That's a Thursday through a Sunday. Folks, please go to HagmanReport.com/training. Get your information. If you have a son, a nephew, significant other, whatever the case might be, this is the place to go. At least we can help here by giving you the lowest cost, the best, and I mean the best training for the money. And that's at Freedom Center USA. I'm telling you right now, they have really, they're not making much from this. And we asked them to give something special to our listeners and viewers. They did. Sam's behind it. And for that, we thank him. But this could mean your life or the life of your loved ones. Go to HagmanReport.com/training. for information and sign up. Next class is December 1st through the 4th. And you know what? If I was physically able to do so myself, I would. Many people know what's going, a little bit about what's going on, but the fact is, the more people that get trained and are on our side, the better. So that's Freedom Center USA. And Sam, I want to thank you for doing that. I know that you're doing that at an extreme cost when, in fact, you are in the midst of all kinds of gunk going on, you know, with in your life. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank you.
Well, Doug, I thank you for putting that out there. It's important. And I use this example all the time. I've got a custom guitar, a Ricky Barlow in New York made me. It's a beautiful instrument. It's a better musical instrument than the Steinway my grandfather gave me. And I ask people a simple question. Would you rather hear me play my $7,000 guitar, or would you rather hear Eric Clapton play a $400 acoustic Fender? And I can promise you, as a musician, you would much rather hear Eric Clapton play the cheap guitar. And this speaks to the musician, not the instrument. It doesn't matter how nice an AR-15 you have, how custom a Glock you have, how much ammo you have. None of that matters if you're not trained, if you don't have a high level of skill. The level of skill is what matters. I could give 12 Patriots, the best weapons made and the best ammunition made. And I could put you in a house with a Navy SEAL and a pocket knife. Put a dozen of you in that house. In a couple hours, the Navy SEAL would walk out and the 12 bodies that went in with the best weapons known to man would be lying on the floor somewhere in the home, because skill matters. And it's so important that you understand that buying the gun and the ammo is not enough. You've got to learn how to use cover. You've got to learn trigger control. You've got to learn the safe operation of the weapon. You've got to learn how to keep the gun running and keep it in the fight. That's absolutely critical. And that will bring me to my firearms tip of the week. If you're ready for that, Doug.
I'm ready after this one question. I got an email, I don't know, it was within the last week or two, who said, the writer asked me, well, aren't we going to be fighting just a bunch of rubes out there with, you know, that who don't know how to fight, the leftists who never picked up a gun. Isn't that who we're really going to be fighting? So really, what training do I really need to outgun these morons? And that's kind of the...
That's a false belief system.
Okay.
Because you look at the situations where patriots have stood up, and who have you seen there? You've seen the BLM. You've seen tactical officers for federal agencies. You've seen FBI HRT, the wet works team of the federal government. And these guys are skilled.
Yes.
They're not clowns. Okay. Now, can an FBI HRT team of 40 men, can they take on 140 patriots that are trained? No chance. HRT would be cut to ribbons. But the fact of the matter is that the federal government, the rubes, the libtards, they don't do the fighting. They pay skilled order takers to do their fighting for them. They're not stupid. Do you think George Soros hires a rube to guard him? No, he goes and hires ex-Secret Service agents or ex-Navy SEALs.
Good point.
Or ex-British SAS.
Yeah.
Good That's point. Who's guarding the elite. Don't kid yourself about that. So,
which I believe is why they're still sucking air. I mean, I ask the question all the time. Why are these people still walking around sucking air? And I do believe things do happen that we don't hear about. That's just my view. But what do I know about these things? But no, you're right. So go ahead with your tip. I didn't mean to derail you, but I wanted to get that sentiment out there because I thought about that and I thought, you know, is it possible that we're just going to be facing a bunch of morons with guns? You know, morons with guns against morons with guns.
Having been in a few firefights, I can absolutely testify to the simple fact that fortune favors the skilled.
Amen to that. It does.
No question about it.
All right. Well, again, folks, HagmanReport.com/training. The link will be in the program description box. Please, 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 please prayerfully consider this for the sake of yourself, your family, your loved ones, and to take something with you in the event that you do have to bug out. Or if you're bugging in, you're going to need the same training. So this is the best training I believe you can get as a civilian, and that's Freedom Center USA. So, Sam, go ahead and give your
tip. Yeah, if you can't come out and train, then find a young athletic guy, a son, a nephew, a neighbor that you can sponsor. It will make your neighborhood more secure. It'll make your home more secure, your neighborhood more secure if you have skilled people around you.
Yep.
You cannot. The lone wolf deal, I'm going to defend my home no matter what. I'm going to go to my lair in the mountains and go underground in my underground place. That's all mythology. You can't survive by yourself. You need a community of like-minded people to do defense 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you need a significant size group because you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to shower. You've got to do hygiene. You've got to do all these basic things that humans need. You cannot do security 24/7. It's impossible. You might do it for a day and a half, and then you're done. So the training and learning about how we survive as communities together as a group is a big deal. And it defeats the myth of the lone wolf that survives the apocalypse, which is a myth.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah, so let's talk. Go ahead.
So let's talk a little bit about pistols. We get a lot of people come to training and they don't have a pistol that fits their hand properly. So I'm going to spin to the side here and back up a little so you can see I have a pistol here that is clear. I can't show you the chamber with the camera, but it is clear. I've checked it 3 times now. Magazine well's clear. Okay.
All right.
So most people, this is my personal pistol. It fits my hand very, very well.
Safe gun, by the way.
Most people have a pistol. And when they go to reload it, it locks back like this because it's out of ammunition. The magazine follower pushes up the slide stop and it locks back, which makes it easier to reload.
Oh, no, it's jammed.
Well, I hope not. Okay, so we're going to talk about how do we keep a gun in the fight. Well, the first rule is you've got to have a pistol that fits your hand, which means you can reach the control levers with a fighting grip. Notice my finger is in the trigger guard. Now, my fighting grip looks like this. My left thumb is way far ahead of my right thumb. But now we need to change magazines. So I'm going to insert a mag. I've run the gun dry. I need to strip the magazine. And as soon as I hit the mag release button, my thumb goes directly to the top of the slide release. And I don't know if you'll hear the click of the trigger. I hope you do. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop a mag, insert a new mag, close the slide, and pull the trigger. And I want you to see how long that should take. That's how long it should take to change a mag. And if you can't change a magazine in less than 1.2 seconds, you need training and you need practice. Now, the key is that my thumb that releases the mag, as soon as it releases the mag, it goes right to the slide release. So if I do this in slow-mo, I'm going to drop the mag. My thumb goes down to the mag release button, and it goes, as soon as I press it, I go immediately to the top of the slide release. Now, as I insert the magazine, as the magazine impacts and locks in place, I use that energy with pressure on top to close the slide. So it looks like this.
Okay.
And then my fingers back in the trigger guard and I fire the weapon. And that whole process, from the time that the mag is inserted till I fire the gun, takes about this long. If you can't do that, you need to learn how. And if you don't know how to get that training, come to the Freedom Center and we'll train you. But these are the kinds of things that you're going to learn. You're going to learn to get rid of all the extraneous movement. You're going to learn how to set up the control levers on your weapon so you can operate them with a fighting grip. And you can get a gun back in the fight within a second of it running dry.
Wow.
Kind of makes the magazine limit people. Kind of takes them out of play when you can change mags in 1.2 seconds or less.
You see in the movies, he's reloading and it gives you a chance to fire. Okay, with that, no chance. And the enemy's dead. How great is that? 1.2 seconds. That's fascinating. And that's right there, folks. Is worth the price of admission if you can do that.
It's a valuable skill to learn how to reload your weapon quickly. I watched a Fox News video of this Ukraine freedom fighter going against the Russian forces, and he dropped a mag out of his AK, and it was, I think I counted to 14. He got the magazine locked back in the gun, and I was like, oh my Lord, what is going on with this poor man? You know, and you don't want to take 14 seconds to reload a gun. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Now, I have instructors that'll do this in 0.8 of a second.
Really?
So if you're willing to put in the practice time, you can actually reload an AR or a pistol in less than a second. You can go on YouTube, watch Doug Koenig do it in 0.79 seconds, 0.77. He's one of the fastest I've ever seen. When Koenig greases a reload, I mean, really does it right. When he's spot on, he's really fast. But, you know, 0.7, 0.8 is world class. The average person can learn to do it in less than a second and a half in a couple of days.
And there you have it, folks. Go to HagmanReport.com/training, Freedom Center USA. I'm telling you right now, this is worth everything. I mean, this is worth your life. That's Freedom Center USA, HagmanReport.com/training. Sam, we're about out of time. We got about another minute is all. I want to thank you for showing us that. That's amazing, too, by the way, how you did that so quickly. You should see
the look on the students' faces when I insert a magazine in an M4, I close the bolt, and I fire the weapon. And the trick is that when you insert the mag, your thumb is always on the side of the magazine, never behind. So when you insert the mag, your thumb goes right to the bolt release. And as soon as you hit the bolt release, you pull the trigger because your eyes are in the sights on the target and you close the bolt release and pull the trigger. Well, guess what? The hammer's laid back and the bolt carrier's coming forward. The hammer chases the bolt home. And as soon as the gun locks up, the gun fires. You don't have to wait for the bolt to close. You can pull the trigger. And when a student sees me insert a mag and fire the gun in 0.2 seconds, the looks on their faces are absolutely priceless.
Folks, one place you don't want to stand is between where he's pointing the gun and Sam Andrews. Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for taking your time out today. And thanks for showing us that that tip. Appreciate
Doug, thanks for having me. Have a great week, sir.
Yeah, you too, sir. Folks, that'll do it. That'll do it. HagmanReport.com. HagmanReport.com/training. That's HagmanReport.com/training. Freedom Center USA. Sam Andrews, got to say thank you so much for making it affordable for people like you and me to go out there and do this. God bless. Good night.